Talk Business and Politics is sponsored by AT&T, challenging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com.
I'm Roby Brock. Welcome to this edition of Talk Business and Politics on KASU. Could we see a special election to replace Senator Tom Cotton should he jump to a rumored CIA post? Also, tax cuts passed the Senate, but are they a political winner or loser? I sat down with Arkansas Democrat Gazette columnist John Brummett to discuss.
You want to talk about Cotton?
Let's
and the
talk
CIA.
About what that could be. That rumor actually heated up last week with Maggie Haberman, the Trump whisperer, I guess.
She's connected.
The
New York Times.
When she reports on it, there tends to be a little bit of truth to it there. What would this do, in your estimation, to 2018's election cycle? How much more fun would it make it for you to cover?
Oh, it would make me young again, even as I'm a year older. It would take a year that may not be much, other than seeing if the red tide continues or whether the Democrats can kind of rebound a little in niches. First of all, it would be great fun to see whom Asa would appoint, if, say, Cotton gets the CIA appointment in January, whom Asa would appoint as the placeholder for a year, and who might get that, and to see the competition. Well, you want to see backroom competition. You ought to be probably in the governor's office when people are coming to ASA saying, I think my career needs to be capped off by my service in the United States
Senate. I would be doing you a service.
Right. And then we would have a special election to complete the term, which would then be up in 2020. So we got bang, bang, bang. And I had a leading Republican tell me the other day, I was asking him about Steve Womack, whether he would run, or French Hill or others. He said, John, it may be 11 or 12, four or five serious, and then a bunch of these others.
It'd be like 2010.
Yeah, that's
in some
ways. That's the comparison that he made. It would be, and then the Democrats. What are they going to do? We had a little flurry of activity last week. Somebody said to me, the Democrats could compete. BB could still compete, and so I called BB. He was on the golf course, of course.
Of course.
And he said, "Man, I can't." He said, "What in the world has happened? I can't complete a golf hole for people calling and asking if I'm going to run for the Senate." I had to explain, and he said he really wasn't up on Cotton and Trump and the CIA and that sort of thing. He's not going to do it. He's not going to pull a Brett Favre. But it'd be fascinating. Steve Womack would be an obvious choice from Congress to run for the Senate in the special election, except he's on a leadership track in the House, and they might not. French Hill, second district congressman, would be a safer bet year to election to election as a senator than having to fight the Pulaski County Democratic strength. Tim Griffin, not one to pass up an opportunity, or at least would like to be mentioned about it.
There's a deep bench on the Republican side.
No kidding. They've got a deep bench is what you have when you hold every office in sight.
That's right.
So it would be great fun. It would keep us in something to talk about.
You left Bart Hester's name out of that. His name's been floated out there.
Do you know?
Too,
so. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I tend to forget about him. I spent the day the news broke about Cotton. I spent the day on the phone with Republicans, and what I told about on the sixth call, I said to somebody, "What I've learned today is to take Bart Hester seriously."
On the topic of tax cuts, the timing of a special election in Alabama and other swirling events, such as a looming budget crisis, could impact a Senate-passed bill that must be reconciled with a House bill in a conference committee.
So the timing on that could be a huge factor, in that we just have seen this tax bill pass the U.S. Senate. It's got to go to a conference committee for a reconciliation now, and you've got a looming deadline to pass a budget now that is going to require some Democratic votes in the Senate side.
You've got to get to 62 on the Senate side to avoid a government shutdown.
I predicted it will happen. So,
well, we've had it before, and we always come out of it, and somebody's a political loser and somebody's a political winner. Probably the Republicans this time. But we got to get this this budget bill passed because they passed the tax cut bill by buying Republican votes by promising to do things in that, like DACA for Jeff Flake. And then Susan Collins extracted a public commitment in caucus from Trump that the Alexander Murray bill to restore the cost-sharing subsidies to Obamacare in exchange for doing away with the individual mandate, that that was going to be done. So they've got obligations, not bipartisanly. The Republicans got to tend to their own obligations to each other to see if this gets done.
And I think it's kind of coming down to this argument here. I think Republicans passing that tax bill in particular, there was this effort to do it to show we can govern, we can pass legislation. But there could also be the drawback of we can pass legislation, therefore we can govern. Look at what we passed and the potential harm to middle-class voters or, you know, if some of the things that they're predicating the success of big corporate income tax cuts doesn't come to fruition.
Right.
You got some potential fallout here.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And I think that, I think what they passed early Saturday morning is, at present, a clear political loser. I mean, I think, and you may know more about how this happens than I can figure out, because I'm not up there doing on-site reporting. But two conservative Republican senators thought that small businesses ought to get a break like corporations do, and therefore let's find a new way to tax pass-through income. Mm-hmm. In the course of doing that, by these little amendments they're writing in the margin late Friday night, they have given a tax break to hedge fund billionaires who have a lot of pass-through income. Trump, apparently, many of his businesses are pass-through income. But at the same time, they exempted professional services people like lawyers and accountants from this reduction of 39 to 26 in tax and pass-through income, their top rate. A guy out here got a landscape lighting business, grossing $90,000 a year. He's not going to get to 39% anyway. He gets nothing out of that.
That's John Brummett, columnist with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You can catch our full interview online at talkbusiness.net. You can also keep up with local and state headlines at that site, talkbusiness.net. Be sure to check it out. That's all for today's program. I'm Roby Brock. We'll see you next week.